What would happen if instead of composing predetermined assignments, college composition students could compose whatever they want to compose? What would happen if students could set their own deadlines and grade their own work? Find out as Assistant Professor Mason Joyner and I explore these questions with a few of our fellow English department colleagues. I'm Monica Mankin, and this is the English 101 experiment. All right, I guess, are we calling this the English 101 experiment?
Yeah, let's okay. do it. The All English right. 101 experiment.
All right, so welcome to the English 101 experiment podcast.
Edition.
Episode one. Oops. That was my lunch reminder to eat. All right, so I guess we should probably introduce ourselves in case we ever have any listeners who don't work at Delgado Community College.
Yep.
So, Corey, why don't you get us started?
Sure. My name's Corey Pellerin, and I'm an English instructor at Delgado.
My name is Mason Joyner. I am also an English instructor at Delgado Community College in New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank
you. Okay, and I'm Monica Mankin, and I'm an associate professor of English. No, yes. I mean, you all have ranks. You
Assistant.
Just didn't say them.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so also at Delgado Community College, I don't know, how long have you been working here? I've been here since 2011.
I started adjuncting in 2016 and then was hired full-time in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, now I've been here since January 2020.
Okay, and then where you were teaching somewhere else before that, right?
Yeah, I was at South Louisiana Community College in Lafayette.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Closer to home?
Closer to home, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we've been colleagues for a while now, So I guess if we can get started with just kind of what is this experiment? Why are we calling it an English 101 experiment? Mm-hmm. I guess, Mason, do you want to jump on that one?
Well, so Monica and I last semester really started talking more about being tired of what we were doing in English 101 and it not feeling successful or worthwhile to the students. I think for me and I think for Monica as well, wanted to sort of tap into that feeling that we had in school, like falling in love with writing, falling in love with language. For me, that was like the summer I was going into eighth grade, I think. I took a creative writing course at the Advanced Program for Young Scholars in Natchitoches, Louisiana. The instructor of that course, Ralph Adamo, is currently a professor at Xavier University and a friend of mine now, I'm lucky to say. But at that time, my mind was blown at how fun and cool, like, just experimental writing was. And I want to make my English 101 class more like that and less of explaining instructions for a particular assignment. You know, at the end of the semester, have I taught them how to write or have I taught them how to write this assignment? And I guess I didn't like that feeling of, well, they know how to write the one thing I asked them to write. I mean, I more than one thing, but they know how to write those four things I asked them to write. But what do they really know?
Yeah.
But do they know how to write it? Because then they go to the next level and it's like, they go to English 102 and you're like, I just had you last semester and you don't remember anything that we did. Yeah, so I guess in the way of like, what is the experiment, we decided to not give our students any assignments, which sounds crazy. So our students are actually designing their own composition projects. So we are here to talk about that. And Corey, we invited you to join us for this first discussion because we heard in the hallway that you are also experimenting. So you want to share with us a little bit about what your experiment is and what prompted you to try something new this semester.
Yeah, sure. So I realize that my students, very similar to you guys, that if we were discussing a particular type of writing, they could understand that for the most part. They needed to check off a certain amount of things in order to get the grade that they wanted. Mm-hmm. But there really wasn't much of them internalizing what they were actually saying. I didn't feel like they were really owning their education as much as I would ideally hope that they would. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes with a considerable amount of buy-in. And I think there just might be this kind of the language that we're using or the types of assessment that we were using doesn't really gel, for lack of a better word, with the workforce, or really just with the knowledge that they already have. And I really wanted to come up with something that they could build on that to where they would feel the buy-in, they would feel proud of what they were producing. And what I came up with is instead of having them write essays, they were participating in a bunch of smaller writing assignments, but a lot of collaborative writing assignments. And it culminates in these different projects. And the projects are going to be, or are, you know, to throw out the word multimodal, where students are producing presentations where they have visual text and also sound, to where they can create something that I think closer mimics what they interact with day by day. Mm-hmm. To where if they can do that, then they can understand, okay, so what are the choices of the author here? Who are they trying to reach? Mm-hmm. And how can I be most impactful? And so we settled on those kinds of projects, and they've been going pretty well so far.
Great.
That's great. Yeah, I think one of the things that you're speaking to is also something that Mason and I talked a lot about, which is encouraging student agency. Mm-hmm. And creating more authentic situations for writing, like actually helping them to develop that critical mind that a writer has about purpose and audience. And I think like the language of assignments and assessment really narrows that down and makes it very boring. Mm-hmm. And I think hard for students to grasp. I know that's one of the things we were burnt out with. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we know we have these learning outcomes and we know we have to mm-hmm. kind of check these boxes for the bureaucratic side of school.
Right.
But is that working mm-hmm. to help students actually leave these classes with real knowledge that they will apply later?
Yeah. And even if not all of them proceed to the next level having written something that we would call necessarily academic, what we have done is given them the opportunity to write something that they cared about, mm-hmm. which I would say an ordinary English 101 class is far less likely to do. And if they've written something that they really care about, academic or not, that to me seems far more valuable than having learned how to put together a academic essay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to get into the academic essay today.
Well, just a teaser.
Well, no, I guess I'm asking, do we want to talk a little bit about it? Because I know we're sort of aware, like you were just talking about the workforce and kind of the changing mm-hmm. face of like real world knowledge, and I don't know that the rest of academia is paying any attention to that, but we do seem to put a lot of emphasis on these academic skills when most of our students are not going to go to graduate school. They're not going to spend a lot of time mm-hmm. writing academic papers or reading academic sources. I mean, yes, they need to be able to navigate that as a student, mm-hmm. but are we placing too much emphasis on that? I feel like that's something that we might be reacting to.
Yeah, I agree.
In this experiment.
Our frustration with that, that we're not serving them in the way that I feel like we need to serve them. And then, of course, there will be voices saying that we in this experiment are not serving them the way they need to be served, but I guess there's a difference in philosophy, sort of at the core of that.
Yeah, I mean, well, it just depends on what the student's goal is. I mean, like you're saying, most of the students aren't probably going to be going to graduate school or having degrees in academia. So what does it help if we're just trying to hammer in these mm-hmm. these ideas that we, you know, experienced and loved, but aren't necessarily applicable to the world that we live in today?
Yeah. I think one of the things that's been interesting to me is how many of my students, without me assigning them academic essays, mm-hmm. are actually creating
True.
Academic texts.
Mm.
Because they are passionate about a topic, because they are excited to be able to turn their composition into a podcast or a video mm-hmm. or a presentation, and not you know, necessarily be bound to a traditional academic essay. And then some of them are just going to write an academic essay because they find all of this technology and stuff and overwhelming. It's like they're able to play to their strengths, and they're still choosing that, but mm-hmm. it's their choice. It's not. And then I haven't had to like explain the assignment mm-hmm. over and over. Mm-hmm. They sort of seem to intuit what needs to be done, mm-hmm. which is kind of amazing to see that as one of the, I don't know, results of the experiment so far.
Mm-hmm. It's, I think, ordinarily not really, in a traditional English 101 at Delgado, it's not terribly common that a student will be writing a research paper. But I think Monica and I have both found students wanting to research, and whether it's a paper or an article or something else, they want to research and compile research into a writing of their own, which is something that even beyond what we would have ordinarily asked.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it puts us in the position to where we can be those facilitators, right? Mm-hmm. Where we can say, hey, look, you know, I can steer you in the direction. This is what you would need in order to be able to deeply research and mm-hmm. understand your topic. And who doesn't want to do that, right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like it is more of a service if we are helping them do something that is meaningful, right? Mm-hmm. To where you have a better chance for it to stick. Mm-hmm. And then perhaps they could apply it to whatever other situation that they get in, right?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that really is it, is Monica and I wanting to make our English 101 more meaningful for mm-hmm. us and for the students. And I think, I mean, speaking for myself, this has been a really, this semester so far has been really full of meaning for me. I've been journaling along with my students, mm-hmm. which has helped me. I am, in addition to my students designing their own composition projects, I also set my own composition goals. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way that our students are growing as writers, I have the opportunity to grow as a writer mm-hmm. along with them, which is really cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot. The idea is that, like, you know, that kind of gets me curious. So whenever you told your students about this, mm-hmm. were they all really open to it, or were they just like, what?
Man, I savored,
that's a good question. Yeah,
very. I savored that moment going over my sort of customized syllabus, liquid syllabus, I guess is the term, and we all now have one of those. I let it sink in for a moment. I said, I'm not going to assign you any essays. And just sitting in that moment for a second was a lot of fun, and seeing their faces. But to answer your question more directly, I think they were very open to it. Mm. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I had kind of a similar experience. Mm-hmm. I don't think it really sunk in the first day when I said this, mm-hmm. but as we started to talk about what does this look like and how are we going to navigate this together, mm-hmm. They started to get very excited about it. Mm-hmm. And that sort of just seeing that, like, oh, you mean I can do this? Mm-hmm. I want to do this. You mean I can? And I'm like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, and so... yeah, like it wasn't really hard to get them to buy in. I was afraid of having students that are just like, just tell me what to do. But
I haven't had that,
that problem at mm-hmm. all. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think their enthusiasm for the experiment extends even into when we started talking about what is a fair workload mm-hmm. for students in an English 101 class, what other English 101 students are expected to compose quantitatively. And they were totally, I think, into that and setting their own goals that are commensurate with, you know, the appropriate amount of work for an English 101 student. yeah, I've been really impressed with the students, buy-in.
Mm-hmm. And I think creating like a more, I don't know if official is the right word, but a more official space for them to define their own goals, I think has been pretty, that's part of what's bringing that meaning that I think we were craving into the classroom, because it's not just about the student learning outcomes defined by the college catalog that have to be transferable across all colleges in the world, but they are able to add to that their own goals, which like I'm getting things from like I want to be a more empathetic person to I want to have a stronger writing style, things that I think sometimes, especially when we're feeling burned out, we start to see our students in a very static way that like they don't care, they're not in it, they don't have goals. But I just feel like this has really reminded me that that's not true. They are coming here with ideas in mind about who they want to be. Some of them are still trying to figure that out, but this is giving them an opportunity to do that too.
And I think that the different things that we're trying is, you know, we've talked about the engagement, but also like the end product. So I've had my students just finish their first projects, and the feedback that I've gotten from them, we had like a sort of, you know, like debriefing, like, so what did you like about this experience? What are some things that, you know, what are some things that you might have liked to have seen added to it, to where I can kind of refine it a little bit? And I think by and large, it's been really positive. And the quite a few students were talking about how they did something that they didn't think that they could do, right? And and that is, I don't know how many times I've gotten that with essays. You know?
I agree.
To where if they have something that they're kind of proud of and that they can just show it to other people on their phone and be like, hey, no, I did this. And sort of really, really be proud of that. I don't know. To me, that is something that, I don't know. Yeah. That's what we're looking for, right? Totally. We want them to have that connection to their work, to the writing that they're trying to communicate.
So ordinarily, you know, they put their paper in Canvas or in my desk drawer, and it never leaves Canvas or my desk drawer until it eventually goes into a shredder in 10 years.
Right.
So giving them, encouraging them to deliver their works to an audience somehow, I think, to what you're saying, Corey, is a game changer for them.
Yeah, and maybe we should define that a little bit more. Like, because so the experiment isn't just walking in and saying, like, it's a free-for-all.
Right.
We do have some guidelines that we're following that we developed as a result of, on our own years of just
figuring this out,
getting worn out by things and trying to find a new way. But last year, as part of our professional development, all of us went through the reading apprenticeship, which I don't know how much we want to talk about that, but that is kind of what pushed us to
do this,
make this more concrete and to say we're going to do this. So we built out some guidelines for ourselves. So this experiment is students designing their own compositions, but with that understanding that they must deliver them to an actual audience, which we're still working our way toward an understanding of what that means and how to do that. But I think that for me is, it's creating that authenticity that I think was missing. And like you said, it's just like, what is the point if it doesn't go anywhere after this semester? The whole point is for you to put your oar in, right? Put your voice out there, be part of a conversation that's already happening, influence people, entertain people, whatever the purpose is there, do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd say adding on to, you know, fleshing out what the experiment is, I mean, in addition to delivering their work, they are creating, they are totally accountable for their own deadlines and keeping up with this, establishing and keeping up with their own deadlines. And they are composing what we've landed on as an action plan, breaking down their projects into discrete tasks and giving each task a deadline. They're also, we haven't gotten to this yet, I'm not sure, Monica, if any of your classes have yet, but they're going to be designing their own evaluation criteria as well. So there's a lot of layered analysis of their own work in and their own process in the experiment as well.
Right, and I would say that even though if a student doesn't write an academic essay this semester, are they leaving our class with academic skills? I think so.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, being able to sit down and use a spreadsheet to manage your time and think about the parts of a process that need to take place, being able to connect goals with actions, students, even if they're not composing an academic text, my students have still all been using the databases to mm-hmm. research just to become experts on whatever they're writing about. So I feel like they're still going to leave this class with
skills
that mm-hmm. they can use, that hopefully they will be more likely to use because they were invested in the mm-hmm. process of using them in this class.
Right. Yeah.
So, I think it's important to mention, too, that the other component of our experiment does involve conferencing, mm-hmm. right? Required mm-hmm. conference time. I don't know kind of what your philosophy is with that, Corey, or how you're using conferences.
Yeah, I did it about a year ago, and I kind of crammed it all in into a short period of time. I think maybe that wasn't the right move. I should probably spread it out a little bit more.
Yeah, it's rough when you're having to do it all at once.
But I do think that, you know, the little that we've kind of spoken about this, that, you know, y'all doing your conferences to where you know that the student is being thoughtful about their process, mm-hmm. you know, is obviously the way to go. I'm kind of curious to see how it turns out for y'all, because I'll probably steal some ideas.
We are also curious.
Yeah, we should maybe mention that we're about at the midterm point in the semester. So halfway through, definitely had some moments of thinking this is a complete disaster.
Yeah.
But then moments of like, oh no, this is working. Cool. It's mm-hmm. working. We were briefly talking about conferencing on the walk over to the studio mm-hmm. here. I'm working with my students. They have four conference checkpoints they have to hit. And the first two could be done in one conference if they kind of knew what they wanted to do and they already had their action plan and timeline finished.
Nice.
And now we're working on like a progress check. So I'm meeting with them to look at their drafts. I'm also preparing them for in-class workshops.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking about the difference between peer review, which is probably what most of them have heard of and done before, and like how a workshop is different from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I think it's about student agency. It's student-driven rather than here's a list of questions that I as the instructor, mm-hmm. am giving you to make sure you're meeting the requirements for the assignment.
Right.
So I'm actually looking forward to how that's going to go.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been telling my classes that we're going to start workshops on their composition projects next week. We've sort of practiced doing workshops of imitation pieces they've written in class. They imitated a poem, they imitated a short story, and they workshopped those, and now we're going to try to apply those skills to workshopping excerpts, at least, of their projects.
Hmm.
Yeah, excerpts. Because mm-hmm. I was looking today, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I have a student who composed a translation.
Oh, cool.
And it's 10 pages, single spaced. And I was like, oh, we're gonna have to just choose a section to workshop. But it's exciting to see mm-hmm. that, you know, somebody composed that much.
Yeah.
I have another student that wrote a profile that's like 8 pages. You know, like.
Yeah. Whenever you have that student who is just really into it, they're like, look, mm-hmm. I know you gave me the parameter. This video needed to be 5 minutes long, but it's 10 minutes long and it's all substance. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't be mad at that.
No, it's really actually exciting. And then I guess the final conference checkpoint, just to kind of go back to that, mm-hmm. is the final evaluation. So mm-hmm. they do have to meet with me to confer about their final grade in the course, because their composition projects total 50%
mm-hmm.
of the grade for the course.
Right. So, Monica, what are you hoping this podcast will accomplish in our next?
Yeah, I was hoping I would
episodes.
Be the one to ask that question. I think I hope that it will encourage maybe a wider conversation, I mean, at least among our faculty here at Delgado, about not necessarily divorcing the academic essay, but maybe not spending so much time with it. And then also just maybe trying to share that conversation with other colleges to see like what's going on and how are other colleagues responding to kind of the changing nature of composition and our student skills, as Corey mentioned, and just kind of trying to reinvigorate the process of teaching in 2023.
Yeah.
What do you want the what is your hope for this podcast?
Coming from your answer and tying it back to our purpose with the experiment, this idea that we want to spread, at least among our faculty here at Delgado, again, goes back to, for me, where this idea begins in that creative writing class when I was 12 or something, right? In school, I learned how to write academic essays, but I was good at them because I loved language. And I loved language because I didn't love language because I learned how to write an essay.
Right.
I loved language because I learned about poetry, I learned about short fiction, I learned about the language that feeds the soul first. And that's where my mind is. Let's help the students who could fall in love with language, let's help that happen.
Yeah.
And if we've got that, they can write anything.
Yeah, it's like you learned to write an essay because you loved language.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, that's not exactly the goal of the podcast. That's the goal of the experiment, and the goal of the podcast, I'd say, is to document certainly how this goes, for more of a logistic standpoint. Is this going to work in a classroom? So there's that.
Yeah.
But more largely, yeah, to spread that message. But go ahead, Monica.
I was just going to add that I think documenting it as it's in progress keeps it. We're being honest, right? Because I think if you do this in retrospect, it's easy to polish things up and make it sound like it was just perfect. It worked so well. But I think talking about it in real time is helpful for just, keeping it real, being authentic in our practice. Which I think this idea of falling in love with writing and wanting our students to do that, like I hope to like help people remember why they became writing instructors. Like I didn't get into this because I want to enforce rules and like, you know, nitpick over grammar. And I got into it because of my own love for language, as you've been talking about, and wanting to share that with people.
And also to keep it real, I think now is a good time as any to say there are definitely students in my class now that I fear are not taking the self-directed writing projects seriously. I mean, there are students that I'm concerned about, and trying to meet with those students and get to what they want to say and what they want to write and how they're going about it. It's a challenge.
I don't want to
this first episode to paint like that's going like such a breeze already. We've already mastered teaching. We're gonna retire after this semester. You know, it isn't perfect so far. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I do have a couple that I'm concerned about. But I think, you know, the question is, would these be students that I would still be concerned about even if I were following, more traditional route here? Mm-hmm. So I think, definitely let's keep that conversation going and keep it honest. And we are running out of time, so I want to offer, Corey, do you have any, like, final thoughts or comments that you want to offer?
Just that I'm pretty excited about other instructors being passionate about this, hearing that students are excited about it. It's sort of a rejuvenation, as, you know, I think you had mentioned, for us to be excited about it, for students to be excited about it. I mean, like, that's what we want, right? We want, like, conversations to be having. We want for our students to be passionate about what they're doing. And, you know, honestly, I like looking at these different forms of their projects, their in projects, because they're just... I don't know. I mean, you get tired of reading thousands and thousands and thousands of words, and you're not really convinced that their heart's into it and that they're really internalizing what it is that they're doing. But whenever you see these projects that they have spent a lot of time on, that it's just careful consideration, you know that you've done, at least I think, you know, we'll feel like we've accomplished something.
We, you know, they've created something that represents them and as a creator, which we don't get that with a evaluation essay or whatever, where it really feels like the product that they're giving you is them as a creator, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I think that's probably about it. Just pretty excited that this is going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today and sharing a little bit about what you're doing as well. And we're going to keep talking with a few of our other colleagues from Delgado. We're going to dive into more detail about how projects are developed and monitored, what we do in class each day, how we're dealing with the question of grading, evaluating the students, and then, of course, what some of the challenges and also maybe pleasant surprises have been along the way.
Yeah, well, thank you all for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Corey. And thank you, listener.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the English 101 Experiment. Special thanks to Christopher Nicotera, instructor of music business at Delgado Community College, for his recording assistance. All music heard during this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. Specific titles and artists are listed on the English 101 Experiment website.